in our Sunday morning series of studies in the Gospel according to St. John, where we have reached chapter 15. We read and studied verses 1 to 11 last week, but we'll read this morning from verse 1 down to verse 17, and there is plenty there to occupy both mind and heart. John's Gospel, chapter 15, at verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another. Amen, and may God bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Now will you turn with me in your Bibles to this 15th chapter of John's Gospel. Last Sunday morning at our service of admission, we found that verses 1 to 11 were totally appropriate for that kind of service. And this morning I think we find verses 12 to 17 very fitting for study on our Communion Sunday morning, because these verses 12 to 17 speak about love and about sacrifice and about service. And I think we need to remind ourselves that this section of John's Gospel, chapters 14, 15 and 16, right through these chapters, Jesus is teaching his chosen disciples. He is preparing them for their future. Which future, as the future always is, was unknown. It was a future that was going to prove very unexpected. They never thought that things would work out the way they did. And it was a future that was going to be far more demanding than they realized at this particular time. But it was also going to be a future that was full of opportunity for Christian service. And on all these different levels, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples to prepare them for that future. The chapter is really in three sections. Verses 1 to 11, the basic theme is the words of Jesus, abide in me. Abide in Christ. Verses 12 to 17 have as their basic theme, love and obedience. Verses 18 to 17, which we will come to on another Sunday morning, have to do with hatred and witness. And all this teaching that Jesus is giving to his disciples is taking place immediately prior to the cross. And that sets the context, the solemn context, if you like, for this teaching. And as we study these 17 verses this morning, we have to be aware of the fact that we are listening, or we should be listening to Jesus. Listening to Jesus saying very important things to you and to me personally. And as we study these verses, we should make it a point personally to be learning from Jesus. Because I have no doubt at all that there are things here this morning that we need to learn. So we are listening to Jesus and learning from Jesus in the light of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it is to the cross that the communion table points us, reminding us that the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us. And if you feel that that last statement is ordinary and not worth emphasizing, then I suggest that spiritually speaking, you have become dull and hard of heart. Because it is one of the most astonishing facts of life that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And so we come again to these first 11 verses briefly. Abide in Christ. And we need to remind ourselves to abide in Christ, because it is in Christ and in Christ alone that we find forgiveness for all our sins. There is no other place of forgiveness. We need to abide in Christ because it is in Christ and in Christ alone that we are acceptable to God. We are not acceptable to God in ourselves, because we are sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. And as sinners, we are not acceptable to God. But in Christ, we are acceptable to God. And it is in Christ that we are reconciled to God. All the differences created by our sinning have been dealt with by God in Jesus Christ. And it is in Jesus Christ that we are reconciled to God. And it is in Jesus Christ that we have life, eternal life from God. We don't have eternal life in ourselves. Eternal life is in Christ. And it is in Christ that we have life from God. And when Jesus says, now, abide in me, he says, now, don't move away from that position. Because it is God, the God of our salvation, who has taken us in his love and mercy and put us in Christ. There's a very wonderful passage in Colossians chapter 1, let me read it to you at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the jurisdiction of darkness And he has transferred us. That is, he has taken us and lifted us up over and into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of all our sins. It is God who has come to us and lifted us up and taken us and put us into Christ. Now says Jesus, abide in me. Because in Christ is our hope, our confidence, and our assurance. And when Jesus says, now, abide in me, he's saying, rest. For this world and the world to come, rest in what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And Jesus then applies the illustration of the vine and the branches, emphasizing our total dependence upon himself for salvation and for life and for service. We draw our life from him. He is our life. His life is in us and flowing through us by his Holy Spirit to bring forth fruit. As I went over my sermon notes in the study at home this morning, I found a chorus of a hymn going through and through my mind. I couldn't find it, and I thought, well, I'll ask Jessie Easton as soon as I go to church, she'll remember. But you know, just as I picked up my Bible to come to church, I remembered the hymn. This is how it begins. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might a channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Channels of God's blessing. That's the picture of the vine and the branches. Look, says Jesus, I'm the vine. All the life comes from me. You're the branches, or you're the channels. With my very life flowing through us to bring forth fruit. And the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God living in our heart, working in our heart, molding and fashioning and training and instructing and developing our personalities, so that in our lives there might be manifest the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, is very, very wonderful. The fruit. Notice, it's a singular word. It's not the fruits. We are not allowed to say, oh, I think I've got a bit of that one, but I don't know that I've got a bit of that one. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Oh, you say, Mr. Flip, I'm not a bit. Oh, I hope you're not saying not a bit like that. Because if there's not even the traces of that kind of fruit in your life and in your person, then I begin to wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ is really living in your heart by his Holy Spirit. The ninefold fruit of the Spirit, a completeness and a balance, just like Jesus. You know the hymn that we sometimes sing, maybe we should have sung it this morning, Behold the amazing gift of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's a paraphrase of a passage from the first epistle of John. And that passage goes on to say, we shall be like him. You see, this is God's great objective. He wants to make you and me like Jesus. And he wants that through the likes of you and me, by his Holy Spirit, we being only the channels or the branches, something of his love and his grace and his goodness and his glory might be manifested in a world like this that sorely, sorely needs to see Jesus. But the fruit of the Spirit from the vine through the branches, Jesus goes on to say, is also prayer. He speaks about that in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified. If you abide, ask and be answered. Remember this word, abide. If we abide in Christ, we will increasingly be one with him. You know, people say, oh, you grow like the people you live with. I suppose there's a real element of truth in that. Well, if you abide in Christ, if you're always in his company, you'll begin to be one with him. Your attitudes will begin to conform to his attitudes, and your desires conform to his desires. And just as on a human level, something says, I'm not going to ask that. That would grieve my friend or my brother, my sister, my father, my mother. That would grieve. You're just aware that would grieve, and therefore you don't ask. Well, it's the same when we come into the realm of prayer. If we abide in Christ and walk with Christ, then we will increasingly be one with him, and we will be kept in harmony with Jesus. And if we seek his words and respond to his words and hold to his words, We will never be wild or presumptuous in our praying and our asking. We just won't be like that. I sometimes get a bit worried when in prayer people demand things of God in faith. We demand or we claim with this. I'm not an unbeliever, and I do pray. But you know, when you walk with Jesus, you learn not to be wild or presumptuous in your asking, because you find increasingly that your trust and your desire will be the same as Jesus. And the whole attitude of Jesus with regard to prayer is expressed, as we discovered in chapter 14 at verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This was always the attitude of Jesus, that the Father might be glorified. And the Father is ultimately glorified in the Son's obedience. We'll see that when we come to chapter 17 at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He was praying, you see, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, so that thy Son may glorify thee. And the answer to that prayer, that the Father might be glorified in the Son, came through the arrest of his Son and the scorn and the suffering heaped upon his Son as he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And the Father was glorified in the death and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we begin to see that abiding in Christ has a great deal to do with obedience. And that brings us to our passage 12 to 17. Being a Christian, you see, is something very, very practical. Again, I remind you of chapter 14 at verse 15, where Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my command." In the Old Authorized Version, it comes as a challenge. "If you love me, keep my commandments." But this is the true translation. "If you love me, you will keep my..." That will be the evidence that you have loved me and trusted me. Your whole life will have a desire to keep my commandments. And in chapter 15, at verse 10, we read, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide." You know, there's a great swinging backwards and forwards in this whole passage. Abiding and keeping the commandments. And keeping the commandments causes you more and more to abide. And abiding makes you more and more want to keep the commandments. And keeping the commandments, look what Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Do you ever wonder why it is that some people seem to know an awful lot about the love of God in Jesus Christ? It's because of their lives of obedience. That's why. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may abide." That's the Greek word. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may abide in you, and that your joy might be full." Oh, said Jesus, I don't want you to have any kind of joy. I want you to have my joy. And what is the essence of the joy that was Jesus' joy? I can think of no better way to describe it that in Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 2, where it says of Jesus, "Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father." Can you think it's a poor illustration of a child coming home and saying, "Dad, did I do it properly?" You know, sometimes if there's something at school and your child's doing something and all good parents turn up, and the child does the particular piece, and then at home, "Did I do it right?" Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ taking his seat at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, turning to say, "Did I do it right?" But not really needing to ask the question, because he could see in the Father's face. That was the joy of Jesus, to do the Father's will. Now, said Jesus, "You be like this, and you will abide in the love that is mine. And you will experience the very same love as the Father gives to me." Oh, how often we come to this verse where Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." I'm told when I was a tiny wee toddler, said the other Sunday I was a bit of a pest. I'm told, I can't remember, that I used to say to my mother, I used to ask the question, do you love me a big, big sum or a little, little sum? Oh, I knew the answer I wanted. I don't know that I ever really deserved it. But oh, what can we say about these words of Jesus? Jesus said, "As the Father has..." Oh, you say, "Mr. Philip, you've taught us quite a bit about the Father's love for the Son." Oh, yes. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, said the Father. Well, said Jesus, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And that's what broken bread and poured out wine says to you. That's the extent of the love of Jesus Christ for sinners like you and me. Oh, it should melt our hearts in thankfulness. You will abide in the love that is mine. You will experience the very same love as the Father gives to me. And of course, I've written down in my notes, I don't know if it needs to be said, God the Father does not have favorites. And no father or mother should ever have favorites. If they do, they will cripple emotionally the child who is not a favorite. God the Father does not have favorites. He bestows the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of his love on us with the same generosity as he bestowed it upon Jesus. And the measure of the Father's love for the likes of you and me, he spared not even his own Son. The measure of the Son's love for the likes of you and me, we've got it in our passage, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. And this love is our shelter. And this love that the Father and the Son have for us is the very atmosphere that we breathe in our Christian lives. And it is this love that is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And the fruit of that love is obedience. And the fruit of obedience is love. You see, you can tell if a person is abiding in Christ and abiding in his love and obeying, their lives will be marked by love. Not by sentimental love, but by serving love. And by sacrificial love. In our immediate passage in verse 12 and again in verse 17, Jesus said, this is my command. This is not optional if you're a Christian. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, but you see, I can't stand that. That's not the point. It's quite irrelevant whether you can stand that person or not, or whether they rub you the wrong way, or whether you feel they're obnoxious. I'm sure as sinners we were obnoxious, but he loved us, and he died for us. Got nothing to do with whether people deserve our love or whether they appreciate our love. It has nothing to do whether we like the people or whether we're attracted to the people. What does it say in Romans chapter 5? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we hadn't even begun to improve. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Do you remember what we read in the story of the feet washing in John chapter 13? Jesus said to his disciples, I've given you an example. You do what I do. And so we have abiding. That leads on to prayer. And that leads on to obedience. And that leads on to fellowship and friendship. With one another, with Jesus, and with the Father. Oh, that 14th verse that I spoke about to the children. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. And of course, obedience is the answer to love. His love first, then ours. Friends trust each other. Friends are open to each other. Friends respect each other's privacy and sensitivity. And friends will never impose upon each other. And friends will also always seek the good of the other. And friendship, however deep and however valued, will never make us selfish, but will always make us want to bring others into a knowledge of that loving friendship with Jesus Christ. Christian friendship is never exclusive. It is always inclusive. And that's how it is with Jesus. Oh, he said, I'm not going to call you servants. Because servants are just given orders. Oh, but you say, Mr. Lip, some servants are glad to be servants and glad to serve. Yes, I know. Ah, but Jesus said, from now on, I'm not going to call you servants. I'm going to call you friends. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known. Do you see what it means? All that the Father has given to the Son says, oh, I'm not going to keep that to myself. I want to share all that with you. As we close, I found myself thinking of the wonderful story in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17, where the angel messenger from heaven said, really it was God speaking, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And the answer was, no, because I trust him. And that led to Abraham's great prayer of intercession for Lot and his family in the evil city of Sodom. Let me give you this last word. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. But I suppose there isn't a lot of us who were in church last Sunday morning saying, oh, but Mr. Luke, we did choose him. We enjoy singing the hymn, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior. And yes, we chose him. And I would choose him again without a moment's hesitation. But behind our choice, and before our choice, he drew me, and I followed on. You have not chosen me, I chose you. And he says, I would have you remember, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without blemish. And that's what the communion table says. And it was Jesus who said, you do this in remembrance of me. Now let us sing our communion hymn.